of the official section is Un Día Perfecto para Volar. We've got Mark Richter, director, screenplay writer, and actor, and also Sergi López, and the actor. They're eagerly awaiting to answer your question. So, first question, please. Who would like to ask the first question here in the front row? And then, hi, good morning. Mark, nature, naturalness, imagination, fantasy, these are elements that I've seen that are very important in the film. I'm not too sure whether there's something else that you would like to, or family perhaps. Thank you. Hi, good morning. Un Día Perfecto para Volar is a film that talks about mainly about a desired paternity, constructive and positive in that sense. So therefore, as of there, it's a game where the border between life that one's lived and the life one dreams of living or imagines one wants to live. And there, everything fits in there. The story of the giant landscape, this landscape, as you can see, the objects, and they are very important as well. Be it the scarecrow, or the water, the rocks, or the kite, that is to say, and also that animist of animated magical objects that are alive, and as of there, it's a bit of a mixture of everything. We should not forget that the film starts and emerges from the idea of a story that I've been telling my son Rock for many years to save the problem of when we go into Barcelona, when I take him to school and we go to all the in traffic jams, and this happened many years ago. I used to tell him a story, and what's the story of the giant's ball. The giant's ball was, why, because the gas station on the road, and he said, look, look, what's this? I said, well, it's a ball that a giant left there, and as of there, that's where the idea stems from. So every time we go drive past there, he says, I said, Dad, the story about the giant's ball, episode 200,854, the giant, he puts on his pants, he gets a magical umbrella, and he flies through the castle's window of the castle, and he flies all the way to of the forest of the Wing Wing Wing, which are these trees that only speak Wing Wing Wing, except the little ones that have got their eyes and the green leaves, and they speak in Catalan. And the giant flies looking for little pigs to eat them, because he's always thinking about and eating. In the forest, you've got the magic mushroom, the white rabbit with the red ears, and that's the story. And over these years, Rock started to interact with the characters of the story, with the voices I made, and he speaks directly to them. Then he sets up plots, and I started to write all of, over these years in the car, and I made up a script with a lot of dialogue, with the films that I normally make I don't have too much dialogue, and as of there, we incorporate all the rest of the team from Sergi and the rest of the people that got involved. We shot at home. That's where, when we normally walk in Las Viñas, that's where we live. Where we go and have, where we go swimming is what appears in the film. Where we fly the kite, it's all exactly the same, and so on. So it's a mixture between what is real, what is fiction. Let's say it's a game. It's a game of mirrors as well, of a learning process, a two-way learning process. There's Rock, but there's a mirror in front of Rock, and Rock, it's a dialogue between him and learning on the way there and on the way back. It's a return trip. Hi. The truth is, you've answered my question, but I would like to know what the film, which was made by the family, shot right there where you shot it very close to home, where the idea came from. Well, you've already explained. It's a homage, or it's a tribute to your son, Rock, and I would like to know, the question for both of you, for Sergi as well, whether the script was closed or very strict, or whether there's been a lot of improvisation by Sergi as well as Rock. Well, the film is an act of love of a father towards his son, and the film is a tribute at the end of the day. When I'm not here, he'll be here. When I'm here, he may not be here. But it's stuck in space and time, and that's the best thing a father can do in that sense. As of there, I will talk about the same subject matter. It's a film that talks about paternity and or being a father, and that it goes from the beginning to the end, be it in Sergi's Lobeth's character, or be it in the giant, or in the landscape. Fatherhood understood as something positive. We're very used to the films that have marveled us of that fatherhood, which is tormented and impositive, opposing what we call being a patriarch. So therefore, in the film, we give it another slant. We look at it from a different perspective, that there's no imposition, but an inclusion, and there's a learning process. We promote curiosity and a human construction between an adult and a little boy, and that's what the film's about. The script was very defined. We had very little time to shoot in that sense, the film, because we felt like seeking spontaneity for all the characters could distill a certain authenticity and freshness in that sense. I don't know whether you want to add anything. I don't know. It's a film. It's almost a miracle. A miracle that's being put on film. The truth is that the basis is a relationship of a father with a son, a relationship with a friend, and with Rock. We've known each other for a long time. And at the end of the day, Mark decides to shoot in places that are familiar for Rock, for the little boy. And so therefore, everything is placed perfectly for something to happen or something to take place. But it may occur or may not occur. But in the feeling, we have the feeling that in the very few days that we shot, the miracle was in the morning and in the afternoon, that we saw how this little boy in front of your eyes knows it's a film. Nevertheless, he's got the ability that we adults have lost of all of a sudden feel marveled in a second and start flying. This is something. It's a jewel of human beings. That is to say, this is being shot in a film. This is a testimony not only for his son, but all of the sons in the world that we all are. I don't know, it's a little miracle. It was all there to take full advantage of the curiosity that already existed between me, Rock, and my character. But it's a story that Rock knows back to front. So therefore, when I told him the story, he corrects me and he enters into the story, and this is what's so powerful about it, that it's that one day when we were told the story about Little Red Riding Hood, we believed it. And this is brutal, really. It's incredible. The brute force of fiction, of a fable, of the strength of what's intangible and imagination. This is, I think, it's brutal and natural. Well, obviously, Rock, in that sense, has helped us quite a lot, by the way, to act. And with Rock, you can't. All you do is look at him, so therefore you've got to be there all the time. And if we're there, he's very natural. And being natural emerges quite a lot throughout the film. Sergi, first of all, those of you that follow you, we want to congratulate you, because this time in this festival, we have seen you several times. But the question is, it's a miracle, because the shooting of the film was easy with Rock, is that right? Yes, it's a miracle. It was miraculously easy, for example. A young boy, he's got to be there in all the scenes. If he doesn't want to work, he doesn't want to play. You said, you tell a boy, well, let's play this now, and the boy doesn't want to play. The game you want to play, well, the game doesn't exist, and he goes down the train. Another question is for Mark. From the first moment, did you think on your son, or did you also think in another boy, perhaps, for this film or not? It's horrible but if you've got a jewel in the family, it's horrible for a father to say, and you're in love with this jewel, what are you going to do? Look for the neighbor's son? At the end of the day, Rock is the inspiration of Mark for this film. It's the way he looks at Rock. Hi, good morning. I would like to ask you, Mark, about the narrative of the film, because the film is told through the boy's eyes, more than a boy, from a boy towards a boy, but something in other films about boys, young kids, we say, we've always had an external look at the boy without going further in depth on what he feels or thinks or how he sees the world at the end of the day. So therefore, it's a radical way of looking at things different to the way we see things. And then also the sound of this film, it's configured as another character, really. And if you look at the credits, I see that there's been a lot of people working, a lot of technicians working on the sound, and that is to say, it goes to show the importance that you gave to the sound. The first question is that, we said it before, the film is a portrait, a live portrait upon the intimate life between a son and a father and a son and a father. How the idea was, how do we address this film through the transmission, oral transmission of knowledge, and through observation, an enormous observation. This is not improvised, because it's the life of a young boy who was 6.5 years old then, and that's his whole life, and it's a work of observation, work living like a father, and having the privilege, and I continue to have the privilege of being with him. You've got a lot of hours with him. Because of your job, as we make a film every 10,000 years, while you spend your whole day with your son, so therefore you take full advantage of this. And it's like a backpack. There's a human dimension in that backpack that you carry. And there are all the tools that you have. And as of there, you construct the way he looks after that work of observing your son. And not as if I'm hiding in the back of a cave, but participating with him and learning the game of mirrors, as I said before. This is something that's very important to share, observe, to construct and build the things that one misses sometimes. And as of there, that's where everything rotates around everything else. So therefore, we've taken different parts from different places, and this is a film. This is it's cinema. It's a film, and then, as you've said quite correctly, there's a reconstruction, especially in post-production. This film, we did it outside all of any industrial orbit. The shooting of the film, there was a group of people. We were going to do something. We're going to film with cinema means professionally, and that's it. As of there, we had an enormous amount of material, and it was like little ants, actually, for the editing, the sound, dialogues, soundtracks, understanding sound as a narrative structure, an important editing of the images, and then the entire crew, all the lab work, the soundtrack of Pao, my brother. All of a sudden, the film starts to build itself. And in that sense, what happened was, that day-to-day, how to manage day-to-day issues, for example. How it goes in, how you start the film and how you leave the film. The same thing happened in post-production, in the post-production phase. That is to say, everything seemed to flow. There was no intention of... We fitted everything together in the best way we could. Well, at least we tried to, and we wanted everything to flow as of there. And to have the ability and have a certain perspective, so this fits in, this doesn't fit in. And at the end, and I was talking to Sergi earlier on, everything you see in the film is everything that we film, apart from when he's in that little hut, and that was shot apart. But practically everything that's been shot is in the film. It's quite curious. I think there was a question at the back, yes?
Sí.
A question for Mark. Why do you introduce that halo of fantastic cinema that we start to see in the film? And there's a tragic component. Because of that character of a testament that you're trying to make to your son. If the film talks about paternity or fatherhood in that sense, the father is omnipresent throughout the film, and the father understood positively, not as an imposition, not as an imposition, but as a protector. Children need love and to be, and they're like a little red light that illuminates this with energy and warmth, and so people, the people that they ask to get close to them is their parents. The father is the person who's next to the son. He doesn't impose, he accompanies him. He accompanies him so that he can feel secure and loved, and so that he can fly, and so that he can be free. That's what I wanted to say in the film. And as of there, with that work of promoting curiosity, so therefore there's a pantheist vision, almost magical, of the conception of the landscape, and all of it obviously talks about absence, as you say. It's the absence of. Sergi is absent, the giant is absent, we're all absent, but we accompany the boy. We don't leave him on his own. We give him security so that he can be free and autonomous and independent. That's the idea. The starting point in that sense, in the moment, as there's a little part which goes click and we go to the other side, we go into the world of the dead, of the people that are absent and so forth. That's what it's about. Absent, it's absent, but everything exists at the same time. And at the same time, Sergi's character is the invisible friend that many people have had when we were kids. But he's also the beloved friend that you would hug for many hours. But he's still someone who's present, that the children need. They need someone to love them, to be with them, but to not flatten them when they allow them to live, but to not hurt them when they hug them. That's it, what I'm talking about. In the credits, six characters, you three, you two, the Chan, the Scarecrow, the Kite, and a name which is called the Giant. I would like to ask you, in the film, there are only three human presences. I didn't see that fourth name, the Giant. I don't know who the Giant is in the credits. I'd like to ask you about that ingredient, that in a film with very little material, and very specific and very precise, who is that fourth human presence? We wanted to add the ants, but there were so many that the credits wouldn't finish. We wanted to add the rocks. We wanted to add the grapevines. Everything, the giant, is played by Josep Maria Sanz. And there's a debate there. What are we going to do with the giant? Does he appear or doesn't he appear? Or what he says, does it come out or not? But there's a silhouette that appears with the light in the background and the wind's blowing and there are some pines and there's a silhouette. Is that the giant or is that a worker who works in the fields. But that gives us a moment that all of a sudden you leave the story, get out of the story, and there's someone who's observing what's going on. It's just a moment that reminds the audience that we're in a film and someone's observing from outside in that sense. Hi, good morning. I would like to know, has your son seen the film? How did he see himself? How did he feel? Whether did he like the experience? He sees it as if we were having a shower at home or going to the beach. It's the same thing to him. He sees it as natural as, yes, very naturally. There's no problem at all. I suppose the son of a carpenter sees it normal that his father is hit making chairs. Yeah, but he's on the screen. But the son of the carpenter sees a chair. Well, dad makes chairs my dad makes films. And so therefore there's nothing. He sees that very normally. And obviously, he's going to become a blacksmith at the end of the day, my son. Yes, I'm going to leave the film, if you'll allow me, and I'd like to ask you, where are you? Hi. Whether Sunday is a perfect day to fly. All Sundays are perfect days to fly. Even Mondays are good. Freedom. Following with, along with your son, in this story, how does he, things that have to do with death and the absences, your son, Rock, absence and death. That's it. As you tell it in the story, I'm not too sure as a boy whether he's had any opinion as regards to what appears in the script or the film. It's a story like a tale. And that's what it's about. He took it on very normally. I'm not too sure whether he's asked you any questions or any remarks as regards this issue, the people that are absent or people that have died. He's more interested in surf on the beach. Look, I've got a surfboard and I didn't bring it on. I wanted to go into this. He was worried about this much more, very normal. It's what we said before. There's no borders there. There's the blurred border of what the life that he's lived and the life that one dreams of living. So therefore, in the car or we're walking in the mountains, or we go to the grapevines, or we go to swim, it's all a spectacle. It's the adventure of life. The clouds aren't clouds, they are beings, but we take advantage of talking about where water comes from and where it rains. So look, Dad, look at the light, the transfiguration of light, and you go, Jesus, transfiguration of light. He uses the vocabulary, kids are like, they imitate everything. So if you talk in one way, your son will talk it that way. Well, okay, the transfiguration of light, is that's how you see the clouds. He said, instead of saying that thing there, from what we've lived in this life in the Mediterranean, we don't have ideograms. We do that. We say the clouds. In other places, they say that. And there's a whole interpretation of what that is. Before asking a question, I don't know what you like what I'm going to say. What you've done with me is to stop watching films and I'm going to go with my son to fly a kite. I felt like of doing it, and I want to congratulate you for this, because I think you will like me saying this, but I would like to ask you about the tone of the film, because I think it's very difficult to talk about your sons, or especially without falling into something which is oversensitive. It's quite frequent in literature, in movie, in films, or in songs, or any artistic, any art, to talk about sons and to not go over the top with being oversensitive. I think I imagine you put a lot of effort in that. I'm not too sure what do you think of this? I was always a disaster when I studied and I left school early and I can't even keep too many things in my mind too much. So therefore, just Joseph Pla and quoting Stendhal, you've got to go, you've got to talk of what surrounds you while you're here. I know how to do this. So if I talk about the things that surround me, I always imagined that I would like to get into genre films, but would I be able to do so? I don't know. Perhaps not. So therefore, what do I talk about? I talk about things that flow for me. If I've got to make an effort, I can't. So therefore, I suppose that films that I've made over the years, I've not done what I wanted, but what I could and what they allowed me to do in that make in that sense. If some of them came out very well, perhaps it's because of that. There's a point of imperfection. We shouldn't forget, in art, perfection doesn't exist. No matter what the effort is, it doesn't exist. So, and behind or vis-a-vis any type of beauty, there's a point of mystery. We don't tell everything. So films is that. And there's a magical point. And in films, it's a learning process. Like as human beings, we grow with films, with literature, with painting, talking to people, eating dinner, making love, I don't know. There's always, it's the, how do we manage our feelings? That's what I'm talking about. That's the great adventure of life. And that all, and at the same time, is a contradiction. That's as why as human beings, we're contradictory. That's marvelous. And if we go down the middle track, how do we manage our day-to-day spaces? That is, how we confront that mechanism of emotions and our contradictions. Well, you put a camera in front of it and you talk about it. And I insist, it's a perspective, and it stems from the work of many years of observation. That's the way life goes. That is, if I'm going to say, well, let's do this or let's not do that, cinema or films would lose all of their magic. And look, I come from the world of film, and I love films since I was 8 years old. And I started to shoot films when I was 10 years old. I come from genre. All of the shorts that I made in the Super 8 era in the 1980s, they were all genre films, a film of zombies. Within a genre, zombies, a western, an adventure, Indiana Jones. What I saw in films, and that's what I shot. And films absorbed me through genre films. But to be able to make a genre film, you've got to be a master to do this. Perhaps, I don't know, perhaps I'll end up making genre films. And otherwise, it's a great paradox. It's a lot of fun. Someone who wants to make genre, wanting to make genre films all his life, but he ends up making other films, and that's life. That's the way it goes. And you can transfer that to your day-to-day life with all of your stories that you live through. Perhaps you want to go with your son to fly a kite, and you can't. But that's going to take you to somewhere marvelous with your son, which is another place. And that's the important thing. And that's where you place your perspective, and you have a personal look upon things vis-a-vis your son, and that's films or literature or painting. Any further questions? No further questions. Thank you very much. Happy Sunday to all of you.